Argue, argue, talk, talk, talk. Exaggerate, argue, pontificate, argue, just talk, shut talk, up. Exaggerate, why won't you listen? Argue, why won't you see? I know the story, just listen to me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
And welcome to Spouting Off on this Tuesday. You're listening to show number 67 of Spouting Off. I am your humble but happy host, Karen Cataline. And, do we have a wonderful show for you planned today. If you'd like to tune in and you're listening, if you would like to call in and you're listening live at this moment, because as you know, this show goes anywhere and everywhere on podcasts. You never know where this show is going to show up. But if you are listening live right now, you can call me at 888-627-6008. And there is always a lot going on. I have a bit of a theme today. And by the way, we have a wonderful guest coming up at around 2:25. Let me tell you who that is. His name is Dan Wass. I'm going to have to ask him how he pronounces his name. He is a gun advocate, an author, and is a nationally recognized Second Amendment advocate and spokesperson. He's the author of a book called Good Gun, Bad Guy, Behind the Lies of the Anti-Gun Radical and Good Gun, Bad Guy 2, Destroying the Anti-Gun Narrative. Given the atrocious and egregious red flag laws cropping up all over the country, I figured that was a very apropos topic for us to discuss. But in this first 25 minutes of a monologue, I've been thinking. And when I think, I spout off. Well, after I've thought about it a little bit, I hope. You remember when the liberals used to obsess about littering? I remember in the late 90s, in the early 2000s, whenever that was, they actually led the charge on cleaning up our streets and parks. They tightened fines for littering. And I was looking this up in my show prep this morning. I seem to remember Bette Midler made this a cause celeb, her being a celeb, a very liberal one at that. Starting in 1995, she was on the warpath about littering. And in fact, she even started some organizations about littering, and she did it both in New York, which could really use it, and in California as well. And she would go out literally picking up trash because she thought these big cities looked ugly, needed cleaning up. And of course, when liberals get an idea, they don't just lecture the rest of us. They demand that we pay attention and they demand that we step to and do the same thing. Well, they were quite effective in their interests in cleaning up littering. I mean, I don't think anybody today while driving down a highway would throw out a piece of trash or a can. And I think that's a good thing. Remember when liberals, and they were conservatives too, they were concerned about drunk driving. Many led the charge and even started a group called MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving. Now, in 2019, leftist liberals considered a moral imperative to allow people to live on the street, in parks, and trash the city with debris and human waste. And they aren't very concerned about people who drive drunk or high either. How is it possible that liberals have made such a 180 on so many issues? If you kept track of it, you get whiplash just trying to list all the contradictions that the liberals are constantly making, especially now. Here's another one for you. Liberals are always concerned and worried about consent when it comes to sex, personal relationships. I saw this last week. I was going to write an op-ed about it, but I got so many op-eds to write. I don't have the time on every issue. I mean, it's an embarrassment of riches to know what to even write about because there's so much to write about. But I saw, and you may have seen it too, a new condom company that made a condom where it takes 4 hands to open up a condom package. Now, the liberals looked down their nose at that, and I would too. I thought it was ridiculous. It's nannyism on steroids. I don't want my condom company telling me what I can and cannot do. It's, at least at this point, requires consent to buy the darn things, but yet they expect us to buy the darn things and make sure that the condom company requires that you need 4 hands to open it. Rightfully so, for once in a blue, the left said, wait a minute, if a guy like a rapist is so concerned about using a condom, he's probably pretty responsible about asking for consent. He's probably not a rapist. How many rapists do you know that want to use a condom first? That being said, the greater point is this. While the liberals talk endlessly about consent, because after all, they want to characterize all straight men as toxically masculine, women are now victims, and men are now perpetrators, all of them. Remember when they were talking about stereotypes? Well, the liberals are doing stereotypes left and lefter. My point is that while liberals talk endlessly about consent, they sure don't care an iota about the consent of the governed, which is one of the absolute pillars of our Constitution. That things not be done by force, except when it is to protect our rights and the rights of our fellow citizens. The left have thrown that in the garbage. So talk to your nearest liberal about consent of the governed. And they don't believe it. They don't care about it. And in fact, I have an op-ed, I hope, coming out this week that says, liberals like everything better when it's either mandatory or prohibited. They like to be in control. They want to be God in your universe. So if you believe in freedom, free will, which I've often said, even God gave us free will. And yet liberals and government isn't willing to do that, especially lately. We've got a kind of a tyranny that is growing in the states, run by nationally backed liberals on everything from sex education to the so-called national popular vote. That's what I have this op-ed coming out, and I really do hope it comes out. I've been trying to get it placed in just the right place, and it has been a challenge. But persistence, my friends, persistence. Hopefully it'll be out this week. So liberals now are on steroids. They don't have the executive branch. They believe that there are 37 or more Democrat candidates are going to defeat Donald Trump. I'm very cautiously optimistic about Trump's chances in 2020, but we have a lot of work to do before that. And that is, let me give you a few more liberal contradictions. Being a boy or a girl is a choice, according to liberals. You can choose, because after all, gender is fluid, don't you know? Gender is whatever you want it to be. And you're homophobic and transphobic and this phobic and that phobic if you don't realize that gender is fluid. What about being gay? Well, that's not a choice. Being gay is never a choice. That's what they taught us, right? So if you think being gay is a choice, you're homophobic. I can't believe it. I can't believe that anybody takes any of these people seriously. Unfortunately, there are a lot of liberals that do. They're the liberals I call the ones on the bandwagon. They're told, what, you know, where to drive that bus, and they drive that bus wherever they're told to drive it, including over a cliff. Here's another one for you. It's always for the children, unless you're either just born or in the birth canal. Then it isn't for the children. I mean, can you believe this stuff? This is what they are asking us to believe. Now, I do have a reason for telling you all this, but I've been wanting to do this for several weeks here on Spouting Off to talk about some of the liberal contradictions that are just so preposterous that for some strange reason, Republicans don't get the leg up. Obviously, it's the liberal propaganda media that props up leftist stupid ideas. And let's just call a stupid idea a stupid idea. They're stupid. All right, here's another one. There are avid feminists who hurl the charge of misogyny at anyone who disagrees. But it's okay to let men into women's bathrooms. And if you don't, you're another phobic or ist or something, right? Right? And that's okay, because after all, hypocrisy doesn't matter to the left. It only matters to us normals. We're not on, I'm on the right. I'm a conservative, proud of it. But I'm not a radical. I'm a conservative. But they would like to turn everything upside down and think that it is totally normal for you to think that gender is fluid, men are toxic, and gays don't have the choice. Now, I don't really care whether you think gay is a choice or it isn't. That isn't the point. The point is that their passions change every 5 minutes, it seems. And I've said this many times, from the 70s, we had feminists who were saying they could do everything a man could do. They could play tennis as well as Bobby Riggs. They could be a Navy SEAL. And now feminists are victims. Feminists are pathetic, cringing little milksops who can't do anything for themselves. And you know what? The left doesn't care how hypocritical and stupid that is. In fact, you've got a spectacular president right now who's pointing out the hypocrisy of the left by calling their bluff. You remember CYA? This is CYB. Call your bluff, left. You say you believe in sanctuary cities? Okay, let's send all the illegals to you. And suddenly they're screaming bloody murder. There's a tactic right there. Call your bluff. CYB. Remember that one. I'm going to write it down. CYB. Call your bluff. They don't believe in stereotyping, but masculinity itself is toxic. Christians are haters because they disagree with gay marriage. All Trump voters are the dregs of society and deplorable. And all white people are privileged and are therefore haters, worthy of being hated. If you disagree, guess what? You're a racist. That's the backwards, upside down thinking that we're dealing with today. It really is insane. And if we don't start calling it out, as they like to call it, then we're tacitly accepting it. People on the left turn reality on its head, and then they call you crazy. Here's the issue I've been leading up to. Yes, I do have a point. We don't just have to fight the communist left. We have to fight the mentality on the right that says that we have to be polite, that says that we have to be nice, that we have to be bipartisan. How can you be bipartisan with what I just told you? How can you be bipartisan with the deceit that the left is putting out there now and getting people on the bandwagon to buy in to such intellectual dishonesty? Now, that doesn't mean that I don't think it's perfectly fine to talk to a liberal, to be kind, to be polite. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about political strategy. And I was thinking about this the other day. liberals and socialists, which is so much the same thing today, supposedly we think that they're not very competitive, right? They're not really into competition. But when it comes to politics, they put us to shame in the form of competition. To them, it is a life or death struggle. They put whatever his name is on the New England Patriots to shame. Because their whole life is about taking back political power. They're playing the Super Bowl in politics. And oftentimes, with the exception of Donald Trump, we're playing tiddlywinks. Now, you can find pockets, but my question is about how to fight back. Now, we do have the Never Trumpers, who I think have colluded, to coin a word, to coin a phrase, with the left. I don't think they even believe or agree with a lot of the principles that they've been campaigning on. But for a lot of other Republicans, I sort of think the longer, this is a general rule, and there are many, many exceptions to the rule, but in general, I think when I meet political people who've been in politics a long, long, long time, particularly conservatives, and they've been, you know, interested in politics longer than I have been, and I have been much longer than the Tea Party groups, some of them, they think that this is the same game that it was 20 years ago. And I don't think that it is. I think we're seeing something wholly different. We may have had a socialist here and there, but when have we had avowed socialists who have outwardly, and for that, it's a blessing. I've said it all along. It is a great gift that a good many of the left that are controlling the Democrat Party now, and they are, make no mistake, that they're being honest for once. I mean, I always think it's better to be honest, and I especially love when my political opponents are honest. It makes it so much easier to address what they really stand for. The previous president, I don't think, disagrees with any of the hard left people that are attempting or thinking they're going to challenge Donald Trump in the 2020 election. And who knows who it's going to be? I don't know who it's going to be, but the left has created such a monster, such a dinosaur. I sort of call it Jurassic Park, you know? The left has created such a Jurassic Park. You can't put these hard leftists on the bandwagon back in their cages when you really want to be more moderate. They're the ones that created the test tube dinosaurs, and now the test tube dinosaurs are out for blood. I mean, if you just think about the radical, crazed women that were pounding on the door of the Supreme Court during the Kavanaugh hearings. These people were not rational. They didn't care about evidence or facts. They didn't care about right or wrong or truth. All they cared about is my person needs to be believed and your person needs to be destroyed. I mean, that's childlike thinking right there. All right. So my point is, when you're dealing with that kind of an opponent, the argument that I always hear is, well, we don't want to become them, but we do have to understand their strategy. And their strategy is miles and miles and miles ahead of ours. I hate to say it, but it's true. Their strategy is they're willing to win at all costs. Now, I don't believe we need to abandon our principles because I believe we have the best, the smartest, the most reasonable, and the most common sense ideas that has a track record for having succeeded, including our beloved, and I'll say it again, our beloved, courageous president who has stared them all down and so far, thus far, won. God love him, God protect him. And that's a blessing. That's important because I hope and I believe that he's teaching a lot of people how to fight back, how to stand up for their country, their state, their city, their county, and their community. And that means when you stand up, I said it last week, it is a quote from Clarence Darrow. I don't have it directly in front of me, but I love it. I love this quote. It says, "I can only be free if you are. I can only have my freedom protected if I protect yours." That is so much more profound than when you first think about it. Because if you teach freedom and liberty to your neighbor and you help them appreciate that your free will is sacred, honestly, except and unless you impose your will on someone else. If you can teach that principle of liberty, you have just protected your own liberty. The piece that I have coming out soon, again, I keep referring to it, hoping it will be out soon, is that a lot of the stuff that's happening in some of the very Democrat states with issues that have national backing are done with force for possibly the first time in our lives. We have Americans who are serving in state legislatures who are running bills and voting for bills and passing bills that impose force on fellow citizens as it relates to confiscating guns without due process, as it relates to forcing children in schools and charter schools to learn sex education the way the left would have parents have their kids learn it, LGBTQ and teaching abortion as a subject that ought to be included with birth control. This is micromanaging people's lives. There's forced voter registration, and in the meantime, forced taking your vote away for president. I mean, they've gone mad, and I'm using as a petri dish, as an explanation, the state of Colorado, where there are not enough votes, Republican votes, to stop these things. And that's what this next piece of mine is going to be about. I have had approval on it, but I don't want to say where it might be published yet. So look in my op-eds for a piece called Imposing Socialism One State at a Time. And if you really want to know how leftists are imposing socialism, watch the state of Colorado, because everything they're doing is what I call leftist nirvana. They're getting everything they want. The leftist progressive governor is signing anything he wants. And yet, people in the opposition have been able to stop a few things just by the sheer ridiculousness of it all. So your voice matters. Your resistance, to coin a phrase again, matters. And even when there aren't enough votes to stop it, there have been some wonderful examples of success in Colorado and fighting back in Colorado simply to shame and to point out and shine a light on the ridiculousness of these policies. Leftists want to shut down oil and gas development in an oil and gas rich state, one of the states that has helped this country be energy independent for the first time in 50 years. We could talk about the motive for why it is the left is always on the wrong side of helping America and helping Americans. In fact, maybe I'll have to end it there. And that is, if you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that somebody that you politically disagreed with hated your country, would you take political advice on policy from that person? Something to think about, isn't it? This is Karen Cataline. When we come back, we will have my esteemed guest, Dan Wass, and we'll be talking about the Second Amendment. This is Karen Cataline, and you're listening to Spouting Off here on BBS Radio. Stay tuned.
Thank you. Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askauntemma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askauntemma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Welcome back to Spouting Off. This is Karen Cataline, and with us, joining us right now, is a nationally recognized Second Amendment advocate and spokesperson. He's the author of Good Gun, Bad Guy, Behind the Lies of the Anti-Gun Radical Movement. And Dan Wass, is that how you pronounce your name, Dan?
That's it, Karen. Thank you. And it's so great to be on your show.
Oh, I'm happy to have you. It couldn't come at a better time, I'll tell you. First off, tell us a little bit about your book and what led you to write it.
Well, the first book, Good Gun, Bad Guy, talks a lot about the mindset of the anti-gunners and how they came to be that way. I talk a lot about how the media and politicians, you know, influence the way people think about guns in America. And they certainly don't do it in a positive way. They like to induce fear around guns. They like to create hatred toward gun owners. And it works because a lot of people don't critically think the topic of guns through, and many of them aren't gun owners themselves. So they fall for it, and they become scared of guns, and they end up pushing a false gun narrative. And my job has become to get out there and help people see guns through a truthful and positive light.
Yeah, well, one of the reasons I wanted to have you on is because this red flag bill, which we'll get to an amendment in a minute, is being run in friendly Democrat majorities all over the country, but Colorado has just passed the most extreme red flag bill in the country. So I want to talk to you about that. But first, I want to tell you that I was one of those people. Being,
so was I.
Oh, were you?
Yeah,
being a nice
yeah.
Jewish
so go
girl.
Ahead. I want to hear your story, though.
Yeah, yeah. So for whatever the reason, and I get this a lot, you would think that the Jewish people would be among the great advocates for Second Amendment rights anywhere. If ever there was a group that ought to have the right to self-defense, and all adult, responsible adults, law-abiding citizens, have a God-given right to self-defense. But unfortunately, a lot of Jews don't share that idea. And there is a book called a group called JPFO, Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership, taught me a word called a hoplophobic. I don't know if you're familiar with that word.
No, what's that?
I loved it. It's the fear of guns.
Okay.
And I had that fear. And then I realized people ask, well, why do Jews have that? You know why? Because a lot of Jews envision themselves at the wrong end of the gun. That's why.
Yeah.
And I grew up in a home where my mother was just terrified of guns, and she would scream, "I will not have a gun in this house." So the first time that I went to a concealed carry class, I picked it up like it was a cockroach. I was so terrified of it. And then as time went on, I went to a pistol defense class in Nevada at Front Sight, and I will never forget. And I still have enormous respect for guns and fear of them, really, honestly.
Sure.
I was walking in Nevada with a gun for the first time, a loaded gun strapped to my hip, and the hair stood on the back of my neck. And I said, I'm the first generation after the Holocaust, and I'm not going to be a victim. And that was
awesome.
The first time that I ever realized that I had had a terrible fear of guns because of that. So what's your story?
Well, that sounds very empowering, and you know, hats off to you for that. My story was a little bit different. I was raised in a pro-gun family. My father took me hunting and target shooting, so I was familiar with him when I was a kid. I wasn't scared of him. He taught me how to use them, how to clean them, how to shoot them. And it wasn't until he died when I was in my early 20s, and I started hanging with the wrong crowd. And when I say hanging with the wrong crowd, I don't mean drug dealers and bank robbers. I mean anti-gun liberals. And that mindset, and I think that's probably the same thing you're talking about, is that fear of guns, I was surrounded by it. And we are our environment. We tend to take on our environment. And that's what happened to me. I started going anti-gun after everything I knew. So the problem with that was I had conflicting beliefs. I had the knowledge and understanding that guns aren't dangerous unless you know, as long as you know how to use them and you're safe with them. But on the other hand, I had people in my ear telling me how bad they were and they denounced them and there should be gun restrictions and gun laws and all this stuff. So I started going anti-gun, but I couldn't live with it that way. It was very uncomfortable having conflicting beliefs, cognitive dissonance. And I started to lean the other way. I started to lean toward the fact that guns are a good thing and guns have a purpose in our society. And then my wife and I had a situation coming out of a late-night movie theater, and I tell the story in my book. That's what flipped me. That's the one moment in time that I said, you know what, my current thought process on this is wrong, and it's dangerous for my wife, my son, and myself. I said, I'm not going to have it. I'm not going to make myself a victim because I'm trying to hold on to this anti-gun ideology that I don't fully believe in anyway, but just because it's I'm surrounded by this in my environment. So I said, no, I went against it, and I started exploring it.
Were you threatened with a crime?
Yeah, it was it was somewhat of a physical threat. It wasn't, you know, when you read the story in the book, it wasn't the most dangerous, you know, situation. You know, we weren't carjacked.
It's okay. You don't have to. You don't have to explain. I mean, you don't have to defend it. But I was just, I mean, you know, how we think we have to when you don't. But I was just curious.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess the point I'm trying to make is that it was just enough to make me think, you know, it was just enough to make me realize that had this situation gone bad, I don't know if I would have been able to protect my wife. And so we got in the car, and as I was putting the key in the ignition, I turned to her and I said, look, I'm sorry. And she said, why are you apologizing to me? You didn't do anything. And I said, but I don't know if I would have been able to protect you had that situation gotten serious, you know, was I able to protect you or not? I said, I'm getting a gun. And then I wrote an article, and it went all over the internet, and that was the first chapter of the book.
Really?
Yeah.
And you know what? It goes in line with something I've been talking about a lot, which is that the left has, with all of its talk of toxic masculinity and trying to emasculate men, well, one of the most natural tendencies in the world is for a strong man to want to protect his family. His wife and his family, and to try and convince an average, healthy, law-abiding male that he ought not to do that, and he ought to trust the government, is really goes to the heart of a great deal of socialism versus freedom, doesn't it?
Oh, man. Yeah, when you said that, that really made it clear, and you're absolutely right. And here's why I think the left and right are so different. On the left, people tend to want that government control. I think that's what you're referring to. They want that structured environment. They want the laws, the rules, restrictions, because they don't want to take responsibility if they screw up. And the thing is, that government-type control, it feels safe to them. But on the right, we have a conservative-minded, traditional American view that says, get the hell out of my way. I'll do what I want, when I want, and I don't need anyone telling me what to think. And when I screw up, because I'm going to screw up, I will pay the price and I will take responsibility. But when I succeed, I want to reap those rewards. So the difference is the left wants government control and the right wants freedom. And the interesting thing that I've learned about people on the left is we always think that, well, you know, they want to control us. Well, the average person on the left, the people we meet in the grocery store and the bank and the, you know, our family members and friends, I don't think that they want to control us as much as they want to be controlled. And the problem is they can't do it unless we get on board.
That's an interesting idea. I don't know if you heard my monologue in the first half. I wouldn't necessarily expect it, but I was talking about this very thing. And when you were speaking about self-sufficiency and all that, I mean, you're talking my language. I would say I would go a step further than even you did, if I may be so bold. And that is that the strategists, and I really draw a distinction between the people on the bandwagon and the strategists. There's many fewer of them. Those strategists are encouraging dependency. Yes. They are demeaning and demonizing self-sufficiency because it benefits them to have people dependent. In fact, they prefer it. And so they've claimed that if you want to take care of yourself and your family, if you want to reap the benefits of and the rewards of the sweat of your brow, you're being selfish, when they're the ones being selfish because they're the ones trying to amass power. It is compassionate to look out for the other guy's freedom, right?
Yeah, you know what? And you nailed it too. And they know that there are people who will gravitate toward that, you know, toward that the victim mentality and toward that take care of me government, you know, mentality. So they capitalize on those people.
Yes,
you know,
they do.
Yeah, and
yes, they
and
do. In order to do that, they have to demonize the people that don't fall for it as being evil, cold, cruel, heartless, mean, all of that, deplorable, you name it. That's
exactly
what we are.
You nailed it. Yeah, we you are know? On the same page. I think we think
alike.
Oh,
heck yeah, we are. Let me
I
shift
totally
gears
agree.
A little. Let me shift gears a little. Because the main reason I invited you on, I mean, I just invited you on to have this wonderful discussion. But in the state of Colorado, which a lot of my listeners know I am, I bring it up only because we have listeners outside of Colorado as well. But Colorado has become a petri dish for leftist nirvana. I have a piece coming out hopefully today or tomorrow about that very thing, about imposing socialism one state at a time. And if you ever wanted to see what leftist unrestrained looks like in today's America, just watch Colorado because there aren't enough votes to stop them. They just passed the most extreme red flag bill in the country. It is chilling in its extremeness. How much are you familiar with the red flag bill and also the kind of money and the people that are backing it, which includes Michael Bloomberg and others who have made no bones about the fact that they want to disarm us?
Well, I'm very familiar with the New York red flag bill. I'm familiar with the Maryland. I'm familiar with many of them. I'm not 100% familiar with all the details within the Colorado one, but I am aware of the basic lack of due process that they all contain. And I also
yes.
am aware of the H.R. 5717, which is a bill that would grant states money to get on board with the red flag law. So if you could give me the details.
I will.
That you're, go ahead.
Is this H.R., this is the Democrat-controlled House right now that's running it?
Yes, yeah.
That's running that bill?
Yes.
See, this is twofold. I know it's complicated. It's not going to be too complicated. This is why I wrote that piece, because there's two things going on. Not only do they want to give quarter and power to these huge special interest groups on everything from guns to LGBTQ to sex education and on and on and on and the national popular vote, but they want to do it by erasing local control. They want to do it by forcing it on the states one state at a time so that our state House representatives and state Senate representatives no longer represent their districts and the people of their community. It is an end run around Congress, and it's very frankly, it's diabolical. It really, really is. It's diabolical. So with that being said, I'm enjoying talking to you, but I'm telling you that it's fun. I wish the issues weren't so darn serious. In Colorado, there is not only a due process issue. The things as I understand it is that practically anybody can make a complaint to a judge. They don't have to appear in person. They
Right.
don't have to pay a fee. They can make a phone call and say, I think this person is a danger to themselves or others. Remember, these are the people who think you're insane for having a gun to protect yourself in the first place. These
Right.
are the people that called Donald Trump insane because they disagreed with his policies and they tried to get him, you know, thrown out of office on whatever amendment that is. These are the people that are going to be our betters, deciding if we are sane enough to be able to defend ourselves, right? So anybody can call an ex-spouse, an ex-lover, and of course that
sure.
never happens if there's disagreements there.
Right.
And
exactly.
yeah, no, there's never. I mean, just look at a custody hearing, you know? And on top of all of that, as if that weren't enough, and I was in the mental health field, so asking, number one, 90%+ of mental health professionals are leftists. And even a mental health professional would not make a diagnosis without meeting the person. This is an ex parte hearing. The person doesn't have to even be there for a judge to, and of course he's going to err on the side of caution. He doesn't want to get in trouble. So
right.
he gives, and this is the thing I've heard is new in Colorado because they could pass anything they want. He can put out a civil order. What is it? I'm sorry. When you have a warrant, a civil warrant that is specifically for guns, that enables the cops, and we have more than half of the sheriffs in the state of Colorado saying they're not going to do it.
Yeah, well, I was going to bring that up because there is that sliver of good news.
Well, yeah, and absolutely. Thank God for that. They want police to put their lives in danger to knock on a door and say, I'm here to take away your guns.
Right. Yeah, well, you know what happened to Gary Willis in
yes.
Maryland. In Maryland did the same thing, and he got killed for it. He
That's
showed up
right.
at his door at 5 in the morning
yes.
when they were banging on his door, and he ended up getting killed.
These liberals claim to be so concerned about innocent life. We know that's not true.
No,
they don't
Karen,
really care.
They don't care
about,
they don't care about that, saving lives as much as they care about banning guns.
Right. And this law, this red flag law, doesn't have anything about mental health in it. So if the guy has poison, if the guy has a knife, if the guy has whatever he has, it doesn't matter as long as he doesn't have a gun. This is, in my opinion, a way to desensitize the public to the very notion of gun confiscation without due process. What are your thoughts?
Absolutely. No, I totally agree with you. And, you know, the ones that do claim to be confiscating guns because of mental issues, they leave the person in the house and just take the guns. They don't do anything
right.
to fix what they're saying is the real problem, mental health. Because it's not the real problem. We all know that. That's not what they're going for. They don't care, and they probably don't know how to fix mental health issues. We have to get into pharmaceuticals. We have to get into all the issues that we have in our country to understand what's going on with people mentally. What they really want to do is take guns from their opposition. And we are their opposition, you understand. Us conservatives, it's not the bad guys. It's not the killers that they're afraid of. It's us, because we're the only ones that stand in the way of their liberal worldview, and
they tend to be quite sympathetic and apologetic for the criminals. They incite violence,
yeah.
So they're into open borders. So
right, and they want criminals to be the victims. They turn the criminals into the victims of society,
yes.
And they turn.
Yes.
NRA members into these evil monsters.
Law-abiding
citizens in the narrative.
Into criminals.
You
and I are on the same page. I've said it many times. They want to turn criminals into victims and law-abiding citizens into criminals.
Right.
So what do we do about this, Dan Watts? It's a tough problem.
Well, we have to, gun owners and conservatives in general have to understand why they're doing it, what their strategies are, and how to help people on a local level, help your friends and family and the people who are confused on this stuff, on the gun stuff anyway, and help them understand, help them see how their thought process has been manipulated and how it's wrong. It's not based in any truth or reality. So, and I talk about that stuff in the books. And so that's the first step, helping the ones that can be helped. And then we have to defeat the ones that can't be helped. I mean, that we have to vote them out. And you know, people have to get active. Gun owners have to be, you know, vigilant in this. And we can't sit back any longer. And as far as the red flag laws go, one of them is going to have to make its way to the Supreme Court. Unfortunately.
Absolutely.
And until it does, we have to deal with it. And it's a terrible thing,
yeah.
But... you know, we'll have another heller on our case and on our hands. And
oh, yeah.
You know, and
right.
As a matter of fact, I met Dick Heller not too long ago, and a great guy. But so this is what has to happen. We have to bring it to the courts, and we unfortunately, we have to fight them. It's terrible that we even have these conversations. This is America, right? Why are people, our fellow citizens, trying to disarm us? So you have to think about that a little bit.
I think about it all the time, Dan, and before,
I'm sure you do.
You know, not very long ago, it became extremely clear to me that the only people that you have to fear are people who have a vested interest in making you helpless,
right.
in disarming you. Or let me put it a better way. Anybody who is not threatened by a law-abiding citizen defending him or herself is not someone you need to be afraid of.
True.
Right? Because
right.
Only a criminal would take away your guns to make you helpless. It seems too logical for the left to understand. There's one other thing I wanted to throw out there. When I was at Frontside in Pahrump, Nevada, I couldn't believe it. 4 days, a pistol defense course, and believe me, I have lots more to learn. One of the very interesting things that they said was they get people wanting to do stories about them all the time, and they have a policy. If any journalist who wants to do a story on Frontside has to take the one-day pistol defense course first.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then they'll answer any questions they have. And
excellent.
That alone, that right there, has made more converts to appreciating what guns and gun safety and self-defense is all about. It's not about the words we use. It's about helping people. Why do you think, and of course, you know, I'm talking too much here. I'm sorry. Why do you think that the left wants to make little kids scared of guns so they could take them into the principal if they put their hands in the shape of a gun? They don't want people to know gun safety because right. gun safety people aren't going to commit heinous crimes with guns. It's terrible that you have to say that, but it's true. So I wanted to just tell you that's what they do at Front Sight because they've made a lot of advocates that way.
Well, that's excellent. And yeah, you're right. They do want to scare people. They want to keep them away from the range because as soon as they go to the range, they realize that it's a lot of fun, you know? And when you have somebody there to help you when you're first starting, and so because you are scared at first, and when you have somebody help you and you realize that it's safe and it's fun, you actually take on a different opinion about guns. And you talked about kids. And let me mention this. This is something I'm writing about in Good Gun, Bad Guy 3, which will hopefully be out by the fall.
But great.
In downstate New York, I can't think of the town offhand, they put together, the city council and the police department and everybody put together a children's gun buyback. Now listen to this. This is gonna make you
I
angry.
Wrote about it. Yes, please
oh,
go
did?
Ahead and tell our listeners. Yes, I wrote all about it.
Okay.
Yep.
So we're talking about
an amazing story.
When they didn't, the kids would show. The idea was to get the kids to bring their Nerf guns in and all their, you know, their suction cup revolvers or whatever that they got for Christmas, right? And then they would make them stand in line and confiscate the guns and give them a safer toy. This is all to help them develop that government control mentality and help them learn that guns are bad at the same time. Well, when the kids didn't show up with guns, because they just, maybe most of them just didn't get guns for Christmas, what did they do? They handed guns
they
out
gave
to the
them
kids.
A gun. They gave them a toy gun so they could confiscate it.
So
oh,
they could stand
God.
In line like good little communists. This is
it
sick.
It was amazing. This is leftism gone berserk.
So just these conversations like the one that you and I are having, I think are going to help people think a little bit differently. And gun owners are coming out of the woodwork, and they're not having it anymore. So I think there is some good news. We're getting beat up right now, but there's some good news because we're getting stronger.
Well, I'll tell you that one of the sheriffs in Colorado, in Weld County, Steve Reams, has been on Fox News and a whole bunch of other places saying he will go to jail before he will enforce an unconstitutional law like this. And over half of the sheriffs in Colorado have said the same thing. And I never thought we would see that decision being made by law enforcement this soon. I expected it would happen eventually, where law enforcement would be asked to break the Constitution in order to impose tyranny, and here it is, right here in front of us.
Well, I was reading that in Colorado, there are like, I think, 20 or 22 counties that have become...
Over half. Okay. There are 64 counties, and thanks to Greg Lopez, I know there are 64 counties in Colorado, and over half of them have sheriffs, including two police unions, and the police protection enforcement agency. Now, the police unions have also said they will not back this law.
So, in other words, they're Second Amendment sanctuaries, is what they're calling it.
In fact, that's what they called them. That's another piece I wrote, is about the difference between sanctuary to the left and sanctuary to the right. Sanctuary to the left is to make things even more dangerous, so you need sanctuary from the right on the right. Right?
Exactly, yeah.
Let's have unvetted, you know, MS-13 members in which you actually need... You need more guns in order to protect yourself. This is what's going on in our country, sad to say.
Those of us that are clear-minded and can actually think this whole conversation through and critically think it and look at it from a logical perspective, we understand. We understand that they are confused. They're really confused, and they have a lot of leverage working against them. You know, they'll get shunned and they'll get kicked out of their popular table if they go against the you know.
The ones in the bandwagon are confused, but the strategists are tyrants. They're basically authoritarians.
I agree. They think totally agree.
Because what they think, everybody should think that way. Or as I said just about 40 minutes ago, leftists like everything better when it's either mandatory or prohibited. Listen, Dan, you are a joy. Tell everybody where they can get your book, how they can connect with you, and I'd love to have you on again.
Well, yeah, you got to promise to have me on again because I think we have a lot more to talk about.
Okay, it's a deal.
People can find my book. Yeah, I really had a good time, so thank you very much. People can find my books at goodgunbadguy.net or goodgunbadguy.com. Or they can search Good Gun Bad Guy on Amazon. And I've got a latest video, Red Flag Laws Kill is the name of it.
Oh, yeah, everybody, not just people in Colorado, but everybody's got to buy that one because...
No, that's just a video on YouTube definitely. That everybody can just check out for free. Just check it out, Red Flag Laws
that
Kill.
That is
I just
great.
So that's how you can find me. Thanks so much. I really appreciate it and had a blast.
Totally my pleasure. Dan Wass, thanks for being on Spouting Off. Hope to talk to you again soon, real soon.
Thank you.
Well, that's about all we have time for on this edition of Spouting Off. Please join me at www.karencataline.com. You can find all my podcasts, op-eds, Spouting Off archives, you name it, we got it. Facebook/KarenCataline or Twitter @KarenCataline. Thank you to Doug, my producer, and to BBS Radio. And thank you to HW, the guy with the IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And tune in next week when there's going to be a whole lot more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.